Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny live, Uptown Alley in Manassas. No GP, the poor guy has the flu, missing one of the fun shows. One of these rare times you get to talk about a playoff team playing a massive playoff game, and he's got the flu. Toby Altizer is hanging out. I want to remind you that as Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. It's the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morai, can help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them the Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Without further ado, joining us now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, former longtime Redskin, Detroit Lion, mornings on 97.1, the Ticket in Detroit, Mr. John Jansen. John, good afternoon, man. Thanks for the time.
Hey, it's great to talk to you guys. It's great to be able to talk to the fans there in D.C. I miss them, but I'm glad some of them are going to be traveling here to Detroit to watch this game tomorrow night.
It's a big one. And you're there in that market, John, and you obviously know it so well. Just kind of give me the pulse here. I know a few Lions fans, and there's a kinship, frankly, between Washington fans and Lion fans, I think, to some degree. Like, I get their suffering. I get how deserving they are of that roof blowing off and everybody finally being able to exercise some demons. What's the environment like there? How are the fans sort of feeling leading up to this thing?
Well, I mean, it's kind of one of those things. Like, if you're a Redskins fan or a fan of really any other franchise, maybe say Cleveland, I'm not sure that you really understand or get what it's been like to be in D.C. here, or I mean in Detroit, because we've never been to a Super Bowl, never had a Super Bowl championship. The last time they went to an NFC championship game, it was the Redskins that knocked them on their butt, and they haven't recovered since. So it's been a long road. The sense here in Detroit that this is finally the year, that even though there's been a bunch of injuries, they've been able to overcome every single time, and they've kind of conquered all the mountains that people said they couldn't do. It was the cold weather for Jared Goff. It was prime time. It was, you know, SOL, same old Lions, and the goats of seasons past. And they've kind of put that all behind them. And the sense here is that this is the year of Detroit for a Super Bowl.
John, I mean, you talk about that confidence that these fans have. I mean, it's got to be refreshing for the city to have that sort of confidence. Around here, the vibe is kind of growing as the week's gone on, that fans are getting this quiet confidence that maybe they can get it done. Is there any sort of nerves for Lions fans going into this matchup?
I wouldn't say nerves, maybe some anxious energy, because we had to sit there around, having had to earn the one seed, had to sit around and watch everybody else have all the fun. But, the confidence comes from watching this team, the Lions, and what they've done all season long, especially offensively. It's the number one offense in the NFL, and they're getting David Montgomery back, so they're getting healthy on offense. Christian Mahogany is going to be playing right guard with Kevin Zeitler out, but he's come in before and played at a high level. So it's the ability to strike at every level of the offense, whether it's in the run game, in the pass game, it's the protection, it's the quality play that we're getting, a decision-making from Jared Goff, especially in the biggest moments. So that's part of the confidence. The other part of the confidence, and I don't mean to take a shot at Washington, but when you look at the 12 wins, there's only one team that Washington has beaten that's a playoff team, and that was Philly, and that was with Kenny Pickett. So I don't know that there's a lot of Lions fans, even looking at that think, they're going to make that jump from beating everybody that's not in the playoffs, losing to some playoff teams, and then all of a sudden they're going to come into the playoffs and beat the number one seed.
Great, John Jansen with us here on G&D live from Uptown Alley in Manassas. John, I had to look his name up, but Jack Fox punts for the Detroit Lions. That's a great gig, by the way. We should all sign up for something like that. But he did have to punt a couple of times this year, and here's where I'm going with it. You mentioned it. Detroit's offense is incredible. It's as good as most any we've seen in the sport. I mean, it's 99 Rams level good as far as I'm concerned. They beat you in any way you'd like to get beaten. The few times where maybe it wasn't clicking or got out of rhythm, what happened? And is there anything Washington can do to try to make some of those times occur?
Yeah, the only guy that might have a better job in Detroit other than Jack Fox, since he doesn't have to work every game, is the number two quarterback, since Jared Goff has been so healthy over the last 3 years. But when the offense hasn't worked, it's honestly been self-inflicted wounds. It's either, and it doesn't involve Jack Fox, it's a turnover by Jared Goff. There hasn't been a lot of turnovers in terms of fumbles this year. But that is something that could hold this team back. But it's really, you know, every once in a while there's a missed assignment and a guy just, you know, misses the block or, you know, they're not able to convert on third down. And it's, you know, it leads to a fourth and seven or eight. I mean, that's something that Dan Campbell hasn't gone to yet. Fourth and two or three, fourth and five. Hell, he's going for it. But, you know, it's being really good on third down, and that's going to be the key to this Lions offense, is being able to convert those third downs and at least make a manageable force.
How big of a deal is it that Zeitler's not going to be able to get out there? The rest of the O-line is just nasty as well, but how big of a deal is it not having Zeitler tomorrow night?
I don't think it's a big deal at all. They drafted Christian Mahogany out of Boston College, to be able to come in and for moments like this. He was a late round pick, a sixth round pick. He was banged up in his senior year and you know, he was sick at the beginning of the season. But I mean, just a few games ago, Graham Glasgow was down. All of a sudden you put in Christian Mahogany and he's off and running. Didn't even notice it. The Lions had to do it last year in the NFC Championship game. Not that he was there, but, Awosika, they put him in. And when you have as good of coaching from top to bottom as this team has, it all starts with Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson calling plays, but Hank Fraley. And we know him very well because he was up the road there in Philly as a player early in his career. He's a technician, and he has, whether you're in the first group, second group, every guy, if you're on this roster, you're expected to go in and not miss a beat. And they've really shown in a number of different positions, but especially offensive line, that they can get that done.
So, John, this is what I posited earlier. Would love your take on this. I know Detroit's going to move the football, and that's true of any opponent. If and when they get to the Super Bowl, I'm their opponent. I know they're going to move the football. I know they can score points. To me, if they want to hand it off, I'll say, you know what? That's fine. I'm hoping I can contain Jahmyr Gibbs, who runs like a 3.840. Basically, at this point, the guy looks faster than anybody I've ever seen. But Jameson Williams might even be faster. You know, like I can't have the big play. Probably easier said than done to stop it. But I will back off and make you slowly but surely matriculate down the football field. I don't know if that's a winning recipe. I don't know if that's kind of defeatist. But I'll challenge you to do that 3, 4, 5, 6 times to get your points, rather than give up some of these big chunk plays that Ben Johnson has. I mean, like this morning, he probably wrote down on a cocktail napkin the greatest trick play human beings have ever seen, and it's coming out in the third quarter, and I'm terrified about it. But I'd rather give up those 5, 6, 7, 10-yard bleeders underneath in the running game than any of the big shots. What do you think there?
If you're just picking how you're going to die. And yeah. So it doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, okay, do you want the game to be a good game into the late second quarter, early third quarter? Then, you know, then let the Lions run the ball or say, hey, we're going to take away J-Mo. We're going to try and limit Amon-Ra St. Brown or Sam Laporta. It's kind of an exercise in futility. That's why this offense is so hard. You mentioned it. I don't know if it's as good as that 99 offense in St.
Though.
Louis.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty good. So, but here's the thing about Jahmyr Gibbs is, you know, you don't want to give up the big play to J-Mo. There's been 14 explosive runs this year for the Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs has 13 of them. And so he could take it to the house either way, whether you're throwing it over the top to J-Mo or you're handing it off or throwing it to Jahmyr Gibbs. That's what also makes him a threat. And Ben Johnson is kind of always one step ahead of defensive coordinators, where if they do say, you know what, I can't take it anymore, I'm going to stop the run, he goes to the short pass game, or he goes to the middle pass, or some swing routes. So it's, I always love watching defensive coordinators. And I know Dan Quinn, all right, this is a guy that is extremely good, obviously focused on defense. The Jaden Daniels is the story, but I'm curious as to what type of game plan he's going to come into this game with. And I've been studying defenses all season long, and you know, not many people have been able to slow it down. So it'll be interesting to see what he tries to put together to slow this, both phases, the run game and the pass game for Detroit.
John, the bye week for the Lions is big because they didn't have a bye for a long time, having their bye week originally in week 5. How important was it for them, and how do they attack this week? Do you anticipate maybe any rust early on coming out of the bye week?
Well, I don't expect any rust because it's a very veteran team, and even the young guys, you know, have been playing a ton over the last 2 years. So it's really going to come down to leadership. And Jared Goff, Penei Sewell offensively, defensively, even though he's only in his second year, he's a tremendous leader. And Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, and getting back Alex Anzalone. For that Minnesota game, he showed that the arm surgery that he had wasn't going to affect him. There certainly are some issues with the Lions in terms of defensive depth. They had 13 guys on IR. Aiden Hutchinson, he's not coming back. Carlton Davis, Derek Barnes, Malcolm Rodriguez. I go right down to Lee McNeil, a guy that was having a Pro Bowl caliber season. Those guys aren't coming back, but to be able to get some of the more veteran guys like a Za'Darius Smith up front, DJ Reader, over the last couple of years has been banged up. This year so far, he's been healthy. Getting those guys the rest is exactly what they needed. You mentioned it. They haven't had a bye week since week 5, so it'll be nice to have this one. It'll also be nice to have that one right before the Super Bowl.
So let's get to that Detroit defense. Franklin hadn't mattered. I don't know that it matters this week. But maybe to win a Super Bowl, you might need to be closer to what they did against Minnesota, John, than maybe what they were doing against Buffalo, just to use a couple anecdotal points. How do you expect this defense to play tomorrow night?
Well, it'll be interesting because against Minnesota, it was all about Sam Darnold and getting to him. And we saw at the end of last year, and we definitely saw in the Minnesota game, that Aaron Glenn was going to bring a lot of pressure. He was going to throw a lot of man coverage. He was going to bring pressure. And he was going to change things up. It wasn't always going to come from the same time or from the same place. But the thing about Jaden Daniels, what's so impressive about him as a rookie is how he does handle the blitz, how he handles the pressure. I mean, that's kind of where he actually shines. And I know some of that is just, hey, his athletic ability, and he can get out and he can extend plays. But I don't think in this game you're going to run some man coverage, because I do think that Amik Robertson can keep up with, and I don't want it to be, there's no disrespect, but what I saw him do against Justin Jefferson, he could do the same against Scary Terry. So you're going to see some man coverage, but there needs to be more zone. There needs to be make Jaden Daniels hold the ball. Make him make decisions. Change some coverages, post-snap, so that the look isn't the same. Make him think about it, and instead of just blitzing them all the time. That's what Lions have had success with, but I think it's a little bit of a different animal playing against Jaden Daniels.
How concerned are they about Jaden's legs? If they're going to play so much man coverage, if he can break out of the pocket and get loose, are they a little bit scared of what he can do on the ground?
Oh, everybody's scared of a mobile quarterback. I mean, if this was Halloween, I think the scariest costume would be to dress up as a mobile quarterback. The thing about, you have to realize, okay, at some point in offense, and if you're talking about Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, at some point those guys are going to get their yardage. And Jaden Daniels, kind of the same thing. At some point, he's going to be able to pick up some first downs with his legs. He's going to make some throws. Even though he's a rookie, he's a damn good thrower. So you've got to accept the fact that that's just going to happen, but you don't let them string together an entire drive of those, and you force field goals when they get in the red zone, or you just keep them out of field goal range and you make a nervous kicker go out there and kick. So that's got to be the theory. A 3-and-out, that'd be perfect. It's not always going to happen. So you have to accept the fact that Jaden Daniels is going to pick up some first downs with his feet. You just make sure that they don't end up in the end zone.
Washington's run game has really struggled. Non-Jaden Daniels division here, John. Their running backs just aren't getting going. There's not much in the way of holes and blocking. And just the time, the whole operation looks off. And Daniels has kind of bailed them out a whole bunch in more ways than one. I feel like that's the area that Detroit can really exploit because you don't have to commit all that much. I think you're going to be able to get in those, you know, second and longs, third and longs, and kind of be able to tee off to bring some of those exotic pressures and things. That's something you guys have kind of talked about here this week of where this Washington run game has trended in the bad direction.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, I know Brian Robinson. It's a great story, and you know Austin yep. Eckler. You know, him having him healthy is going to be good. But yeah, you're right. It's there's not really a nobody's going to be scared of the run game. So you've got to be able to win on first down and force them into second and nine, second and 11, you know, and then again, be good on second down so that you force it to be a passing game. And then when that happens, you not always bring in pressure. Sometimes it's going to be that way, but if you mentioned it, dropping guys into coverage. You drop seven into coverage, and now all of a sudden that secondary looks like there's just nothing available, and you're rushing four. Not that they're going to get home with four, but it's not about getting home. It's about staying disciplined in rush lanes so that you don't give Jaden an easy exit route out of the pocket.
That atmosphere tomorrow night at Ford Field is going to be electric. How much do you think that's going to affect Washington's offense? I don't think that Jaden's going to get rattled. I don't know that any of us feel that way because of what he's already gone through and playing in the SEC. But the communication aspect where they run a lot of no huddle, from your experience playing in a loud environment, how difficult is it for an offense to function when you've got a raucous environment, a rookie quarterback, especially with an offense that lives a lot off of the no huddle and signaling to the different plays and whatnot?
I always think it's really cute when people compare NFL stadiums to SEC stadiums. It's, you know, trust me, I get the college environment. I do college games. But the NFL environment, and you guys know what FedEx, you know, and it's been a long time since you've had a ruckus environment. It's been that, that way for here, too. But it's a different feel. And I do want to see how Jaden Daniels is going to handle 65,000 screaming people and, you know, the shouting obscenities. And, I mean, it's going to be a violent environment. How's he going to handle it? And I'm not saying he can't, but I want to see it because it is different at this level than it is in college. But it's the offensive line. And I guarantee you there's going to be a couple of times where, hey, it's first and 10. All of a sudden it's first and 15. Mm-hmm. Or there's a key third and eight. And then all of a sudden, hey, it's third and 13 because somebody jumped offside. That's where, you know, Ford Field is going to be absolutely bonkers. Detroit's never been a one seed, and they've never had a chance to host an NFC championship game. That's next week's business, but this is the task at hand, and I guarantee, especially since it's the night game, I know individuals that are going to be down there as early as 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. They'll all be there by noon, by 1 o'clock. They're going to be priming to pump and ready to roll at 8 tomorrow night. So it's going to be a hell of a scene in Detroit.
All right, John, let's chat on this one. Call your shot. I have a feeling I know how this is going to go, but give me a prediction for this one. How does it go?
Oh, I think it's going to be Detroit, let's just say 35, Washington 13.
Woo. Man, I hope it's a little closer than that just for everybody's sake. The national viewing audience notwithstanding. John, great to catch up with you, buddy. Really appreciate the time, man. Continued success, buddy.
Thanks, John.
All right, thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
There you go. That's a great John Jansen. Was really, really good here. You heard him. That's how they feel. And I get it. I'd have a little swagger, too.
Absolutely.
If my team scored more points than the 99 Rams, by the way. I looked it up. 99 Rams average 32 and change a game. This group averages 33 a game. I know it's a different league, but still, that offense is as good as you're going to find in the sport. I got a couple things I want to do before we get out of here. We're going to talk predictions, kind of break some things down. Who's the MVP if it's not Jaden Daniels, sort of besides that for Washington, in a good script. Okay, I go through some scenarios. I want to hear your pregame speech. We'll do that in a little while. Give me, I want to hear from Tobes, hear from you guys. Let's fill up the phones on this, 800-636-1067. Give me the most important non-Jaden Daniels player tomorrow. Give me the most important player for Washington that's not Jaden Daniels. Take it wherever you want. Could be Terry has a big game. Could be Austin Eckler. Could be Tyler Biadasz trying to deal with the communication. Could be Marshawn Lattimore trying to play some semblance of defense for this team. Who's the most important non-Jaden Daniels player? 800-636-1067.